Yeah, why can't I just be smarter than everybody else like I am?
Because I got news for you, sister. It's a new millennium. 90s are over. We're not doing it on merit anymore.
Are you just quoting Matt Kona now?
It's what kind of victim are you, and how many times have you been touched?
But that's what stinks. I spent my whole life being tortured in various ways and suppressing it because I don't want to make people feel bad, and using it as an avenue to be funny and to entertain people and to not to make people the opposite of depressed. And now it's suddenly cool to be like, oh my God, Harvey Weinstein looked at me the wrong way once.
Remember when comedy used to be about being funny and not leaving the audience in tears?
Or not, like, posting a 5-second video of your daughter humping a cat or something?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that popped in my head, which is telling of the type of videos I watch every day.
Well, you know, you're never...
I don't watch voluntarily. They just pop up.
Humans will never beat the cat. The cat is always funnier than
humans. I mean, the cat is always funnier than the humans.
They know it. They know it.
They do.
And you,
have you ever seen one get stuck inside a sweater sleeve? It's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
They know it.
I'm laughing, not even watching it, just thinking of it.
And not only do they know it, they have expert timing on when to deploy it. Cats know exactly when to break out the funny.
Yeah, I remember me and my ex-boyfriend, who I'm not going to say his name on the radio, we were in a huge fight. And we had bought, he knew the relationship was a and he bought us two kittens to try to this will fix it. We got in a huge fight and one of them got stuck in the hood of his sweatshirt. Like, she just crawled in there, couldn't figure her way out. I was like, dude, like, the drawstring isn't even pulled. We're in the middle of a fight and just looked over just like, ha, 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 Athena, oh my goodness. He named that one. He's Greek. Evie was mine. You know who it is, but
yes.
I'm not going to tell the
world. I remember back in the early 90s, we'd either just got like a new like 25-inch TV.
Well, aren't you a baller?
Yeah, no, back in 95, yeah, that was balling. Might have been bigger than that, actually, but no, I think it was 25. Or we just got a new surround system. Either way, my roommate and I are watching Apocalypse Now with the volume loud enough that the neighbors are also listening to Apocalypse Now, whether or not they want to. And it is the beach attack scene, Flight of the Valkyries, in Apocalypse Now, which anyone who's seen the movie knows. Flight of the Valkyries comes up, the helicopters fly onto the beach, start blowing everything up. So we had these two kittens, and...
God, I was going to say, God, I hate that I know exactly the scene you're talking
about. And we're a little bit high, too. I should point this out.
Oh, I kind of assumed.
So we're just kind of like sucked into this movie. The black cat walks in the middle of all of this noise and chaos, looks at the screen, arches its back, and then walks out of the room sideways. We had never seen the cat do this before in its life.
My childhood cat did the exact same thing.
Its back is arched the whole time.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it looks like the Halloween cat, where it's just got like
and it's just sort of bouncing its way sideways out of the living room. And we just like sat there and laughed about that for the next 3 years, really. So, all credit to the cats.
All credit to the cats.
My worst entertainment story, 2018, has got to be Disney versus Twitter. And it was all about Disney versus Twitter. Let me throw a name out for you. Roseanne Barr.
Okay, there we go.
Disney
employee. My brain was like...
gone because of Twitter.
Stalling for a moment. And
how about James Gunn? Gone because of Twitter. No Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Maybe, maybe not. How about Kevin Hart was going to host the Oscars on ABC?
Oh,
Disney.
No, nope. That made me super angry.
Gone because he posted some anti-gay stuff. He posted some gay jokes.
Like a decade and a half ago.
Yeah, but he posted
like when Twitter came out. Okay, not a decade and a half. That was false. But when did Twitter come out? Like 2010?
Yeah.
That's when he did that. And, did you see how much eyeliner I used in 2010?
Yeah.
we all make mistakes when we're kids.
In between those, we had Rian Johnson calling the fans who didn't like The Last Jedi anti-gay, racist, bigot man babies. So we had that come from the director of a Star Wars movie. We had Jonathan Kasdan, opening week of Lando, or opening week of Solo, which nobody went to see, come out and say Lando Calrissian is pansexual. Giving everyone another reason to not go see the movie.
To be fair, that was pretty funny.
And it's, well, it's
calling any fictional character that is not built into the character that they're pansexual is pretty funny.
But it's not Star Wars is the thing. And that's why the Star Wars fans get hopped up and they're like, "What are you doing? What are you talking about?" And this was just a recurring theme for Disney all year long. Was people screwing up on Twitter. And by the way, first of all, get rid of Twitter. Stop using Twitter.
Oh, do you know what I love? Is that I've actually, when my phone, I had to restart my phone. Oh, yeah, that's the picture I chose.
Nice.
I had to just reboot everything on my phone. Downloaded my email, downloaded Instagram, Facebook, downloaded Netflix. Because sex. Did not download Twitter. Didn't even occur to me. Like, didn't even have enough care for Twitter to include it while turning off the notifications. Just completely. But what I love is that I still have a Twitter account. It still has stuff on there. I still have like 900 followers who are just there.
Yeah.
I hated abridging myself in the first place, and then they caved and let you do double the amount of characters that you used to do, and I was like, no, it's like the girl that's like, no, I have to break up with you because I don't want you seeing other people. Actually, we can still date, but you can't tell anyone else you love them. Like, that's the way I felt about Twitter.
Yeah.
And
useless.
Yes.
Dump it. Get rid of everything that you ever posted, and maybe you can get a job for Disney. Because I'm pretty sure over at Disney right now, is the first question they ask you, do you use Twitter? Yes. Goodbye. Do you use Twitter? Yes. Next. Have you ever used Twitter? Yes. Goodbye. Have you ever used Twitter? No, I haven't. Welcome aboard. You're directing the next Star Wars movie. That's what's happening at Disney right now. We still don't have a host for the Oscars.
Which is absurd.
Can I tell you something? And I think somebody else came up with this idea. And I appreciate it. Get rid of the broadcast. Write out a list of the winners and tape it to the door of the high school. Like the way that we used to find out if we got cast in shows back in the day. And everyone who's interested can walk up and take a look at it. Does that work? That works for me.
So if I had a nickel for every post from a comedian on Facebook I've seen in the last couple weeks offering to host the Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, I can freaking do it.
We'll host the Oscars. We're good.
I can tap dance.
We've both been to LA.
Well, begrudgingly.
You don't need talent to host the Oscars. That's been proven.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say that Neil Patrick Harris has talent coming out of his ears.
Yes. But what I'm saying is you don't need talent.
Oh, yeah.
It helps if you have it.
That's fair.
But you don't need it. James Franco.
would actually be hilarious hosting the Oscars.
He did it, and it wasn't good.
I can't even.
He did it with Anne Hathaway.
The fact that I can't remember.
You blocked it out of your mind.
I was going to say, the fact that I can't remember James Franco hosting the Oscars is a true testament to how terrible he was at hosting the Oscars.
You blocked it out of your mind because
it was
that
bad. I remember Seth MacFarlane hosting the Oscars, and that
was great.
Was a train wreck. Are you kidding?
But it was the best kind of train wreck. He did a whole musical number about boobs.
In an interview how he couldn't be a stand-up comedian. No, he realized he couldn't be a stand-up comedian because he was too unlikable. He was just like, I realized that people hate my personality, so I stopped doing it.
I love his stuff. I love his stuff.
I do too.
I'm looking forward.
And I thought that boob song was hilarious.
I'm looking forward to Andy Samberg.
The majority of people did not.
I'm looking forward to Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh hosting the Golden Globes on Sunday night, because that may actually be good.
I'm covering a shift so that one of the bartenders at my work can watch it with his friends.
There's a fun interview with them, The Hollywood Reporter, today.
Sandra Oh and Sandy.
This Disney versus Twitter thing, by the way, brings up one of my New Year's resolutions. I do have them. And my New Year's resolution is I am going to stop using the word homophobic.
May I ask why?
Because that word doesn't mean what everybody wants it to mean. When you're sitting around, you're like, you're making homophobic comments. No, you're gay bashing. You're making anti-gay comments. You're not doing it because you're afraid of homosexuals. Homophobic means afraid.
Means I'm afraid of homosexuals.
Transphobic people. Means I'm afraid of trans people. No, we're not talking about people that other people are afraid of. We're talking about jerks. And let's call jerks jerks.
Yeah.
Because they're jerks.
That's fair.
So the word homophobic has been scrubbed.
The word homophobic is dumb.
Unless someone is cowering in a corner saying, no, get the gays away from me. They might touch me and give me gay germs.
Yeah, that's homophobic.
That's homophobic. All right? If you're on Twitter saying, gays are a bunch of losers, you're a jerk. You're gay bashing. And let's call gay bashing what it is, because it's wrong. It is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D, coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight with things you will want to know.
This is WMFO Medford.
Yeah, I gotta cut out on the red. Oh, it gets better. We're going to do the dead people now.
Dead people.
I'm just butchering this. As we do every year on the show, some of the people that we lost in 2018, there is no possible way I could fit all of them into this.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So I picked the ones who were...
your favorite dead people?
No, not even.
I hate that I'm laughing.
No, when I'm doing this thing, I try and find the people who had the biggest cultural impact.
If Anthony's not on the list, I will throw my headphones.
He is on the list.
Good.
And you'll be happy to know that he is on the list. Some other voices in here that you may not recognize include Kate Spade.
That was going to be my second one that would make me throw my headphones at you.
Yes, she is on the list. June Whitfield. And, well, we'll see. This is WMFO Medford.
So we created a euphemistic language that suggested the sort of raunchiness of the cop world.
Bill and I would actually dive in the dumpsters to try to find listings of the secret inner code of the operating system.
You're kidding.
Trying to figure out how it worked.
It has to have even if it's the simplest shoe, it has to have something that says, oh, I have to have you.
So the actors in rehearsal don't want me to see that they're doing it not well yet. They need to rehearse it. But I'm not ever watching them during the rehearsal. I'm only listening to the play, to what I have to rewrite.
We seem to be going so slowly. Impatiently, I shouted faster, but Brescia kept his head and didn't change the pace.
Now we're on a new schedule, but Monday you would work from 10 to 5, Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 11 at night, Thursday 9 to 11 at night, Friday 12 to 11:30 until they kick us out.
Obviously, SpongeBob is a comedy, but it really was inspired by me liking marine science. I focused on that, and I never thought the two would come together.
As soon as I arrive, I'll hit the airport in and out, and on my way out of town, after finishing the taste, I'll pick up another.
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face!
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Suck it to the second 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 to the
I got my snack, and I got my TV. Ha ha! Ah, time to get comfy!
Oh, I don't think I'm proud of any of it. I've enjoyed it so much, you know? What's
to do you eat?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I do. But I'm hungry.
You do? Of course you do. Well,
Dr. Doom wears body armor to conceal his own mangled form, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was me beneath the armor. The Hulk. A normal guy 1 minute, a rage of emotions the next. Just like me when I thought about what I'd given up.
I'm not as good as my children, but from your children you learn.
My opponent now says he'll raise them as a last resort or a third resort. But when a politician talks like that, you know that's one resort he'll be checking into.
I've had the best life of anybody that could ever known, and I want to celebrate my life. That's what I want to do.
It matters that you don't just give up. While there's life, there is hope.
Hi, this is Jan Berry.
And this is Dean Torrance
of Jan and Dean. About this time of year, every year, we'd like to wish you
a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, baby!
Happy New Year, nothing. The way you treated me last year wasn't nothing happy about it.
Yeah, baby, but that was last year. This year I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, pick up on this, John. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Well, I made a resolution. I'm gonna keep the whole year through. I'm gonna give up chasing women, whiskey drinking too. Stop my ballyhooing, yeah! And mistreating you. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Yes, I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. I'm gonna give you all my money to buy the things you choose. I even steal and borrow and pawn my clothes and shoes to keep you happy, baby. Happy the whole year through. Cause I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. Sweet and pretty, I'll buy you a big brass bed. If I catch you cheating, I'll fill you full of lead. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. Well, I want plenty loving from nobody else but you. That's what I mean.
Hi, this is Jim.
I'm Randy Travis. Before the appearance of Red, people didn't think twice about drinking and driving. Well, all that has changed now. More and more people are getting hip to the fact that friends don't let friends drink and drive. Choose a designated driver and have a safe and happy holiday season.
You've never seen an angel.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sam Cooke with three words for you. Happy New Year.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. Happy New Year, everyone, as, you know, this background song is telling you anyway. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary.
Hey-o!
Yep, that's him. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. It's 855-915-WMFO. And we're doing something kind of special this week, which we do every year, actually, where we're talking about the worst thing from the last year. And pretty much in every category, a thing can be found. You're right there, Derek?
Yeah, no, I'm choking myself with a headphone cord to try and find my cell phone because it's eerily quiet in the station. And that always makes me nervous.
Is that like a sexual thing?
Or? No. It's usually a sign that the On the Town with Mikey D people are freezing to death outside and cursing my name. So.
So we are through. We're through the stories.
We are. We're on to sort of the general categories that we don't cover during the regular show.
My worst person and worst public comment, they're kind of like tied together.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guess.
I'm going to take a guess that they came from a certain orange president who I know you are not a fan of.
Well, we're on worst person first.
Which I'm guessing is our orange president.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You've made your dislike of our orange president very well known to the listeners over the course of the past year.
Well, and here's the thing, is that I have very much... genuinely, and Derek, if you roll your eyes, I'm gonna kill you. But I have very much just tried to accept the fact that he is our president.
Fair enough.
And that there is nothing I can do about it, at least personally.
Well, there and is, but you'll go to jail. And, you know, yeah, I need you to host the
nothing,
show.
Nothing I can legally do about it, right, at least personally. And I've really just tried to be like, oh, well, this thing wasn't bad and this thing was pretty good and the economy and blah, blah, all the stuff my brother says. It's gotten impossible to do that. Like, especially, that's the thing about New Year's is it makes you kind of take stock of the past year.
I think what you're saying in your restrained Irish way is that Christmas...
Yeah, because Irish people are super restrained.
Christmas is when you tell people that you love them, and New Year's is when you tell people what you really think of them.
No, I tell people what I really think of them on Christmas, too. You're not Irish, you don't understand.
Yes, I am Irish.
You don't look it.
Well, that's
or act it.
That's because the English genes are dominant. I can't help that. Just the way it goes.
That's why there's such a stick shoved up there.
Just the way it goes. Ayo.
I feel like if ever there was a time where it was appropriate for me to be completely honest about this, it's while our government is shut down over a wall that was, quote unquote, supposed to be paid for by Mexico.
Well, it is being paid for by Mexico.
What?
It is.
It's not.
No, it is in the tax incentives and kickbacks that we're getting for NAFTA.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, it is. in some form or another. Don't worry, it is.
Not in the way that was promised during all those campaign rallies in Kentucky.
He just said he was going to put up a wall. He didn't say what the wall would look like or where the wall would be.
He said he was going to put up a wall.
Going to put up a wall.
And that it was going to be paid for by Mexico and that it would be along the United States-Mexico border.
Yes.
That's not.
That could be a pile.
And the irony is, I didn't even want it to happen.
That could be a pile of rocks in the middle of the desert.
Ridiculous. I think that is the stupidest campaign platform that anyone has ever had in the history of me paying attention to politics.
I know.
Which is since I was about four. And,
I'm team wall, so you're not gonna.
The Mexican people are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And if you manage to get here, good on you.
No, that's already not difficult. How that works.
My family came from Ireland, tried to get through Ellis Island because we had an Irish last name. The people at Ellis Island were like, nah.
Yeah, we're full. No more.
Like, no more you kids. My family, instead of going back to Ireland, grabbed another boat and went through East Boston.
Yeah.
And they let them in and didn't make them change their name to Green or Black, which, by the way, is the last name of multiple people I know because their families agreed to do that. If you can get through the struggle to get yourself to the land of the free and the home of the brave, more power to you.
No, if you can go through the legal process to enter this country legally.
That is no longer possible.
Well, it's absolutely possible.
That is no longer possible.
We have tens of thousands of people
doing it
every single year.
Be realistic. Okay, we have tens of thousands of people doing
that. We used to have
a
lottery where we hand it out.
How long does that take, though?
We used to have a lottery where we handed out green cards to people until one of them came over here and shot a bunch of people.
If I said, hey, Derek, I'm going to have sex with you, but I'm going to need you to fill out all of these forms and spend 3 years working and then fill out more forms. And then spend 3 more years working. And then fill out more forms. And I still might never have sex with you. Would that be worth it?
Well, sex with you wouldn't be worth it in the first place.
You have no idea how good I am at it.
You've got to put something more intriguing on the table.
You have no idea how good I am at it.
If you want to come to the United States, all you have to do is apply to one of our universities. And if you get accepted, they will make sure that you get a visa to come here.
That's super easy.
If you are a tech worker.
Especially if you have a Mexican passport.
If you are a tech worker.
Here I am.
If you are a tech worker, they will throw you H-1B visas all day long so that you can be exploited in Silicon Valley.
Because Mexico has such an excellent tech training program.
There are people from all over the world coming to the United States legally every single day.
One of my best friends in college was Turkish. I almost married him so he could stay in our country. I didn't. That's illegal.
We are practically in a state of open war with Turkey. Turkey is not a good example, okay?
It doesn't matter. My point is
Turkey,
not about
not
Turkey.
Our friend.
Turkey's not our friend, but Gyokai is mine.
I'm just saying, there are plenty of legal avenues to get into the United States of America.
But they're all incredibly difficult.
Of course it's incredibly difficult. Because citizenship has value. Sovereignty has value.
It's not a matter of citizenship. It's a matter of sovereignty. Exactly. It's a matter
of
a freaking green card.
You can't let everybody who wants to come to the United States just walk into the country.
Oh, you mean that principle under which our country was founded?
That is not the principle under which our country was founded. That is a lie.
No, it's not.
They spent a good chunk of the years after the Revolutionary War packing people back off to Europe and France and England because they didn't trust them to stay here anymore.
Well, that's just people being jerks.
The Alien and Sedition Act prior to the Revolutionary War. Our history is a history of exclusion. Our history is a...
We did kill a lot of Native Americans.
Yeah,
no, I'm
we
sorry.
did. Andrew Jackson killed a lot of Native Americans.
I and my family did not kill any of them.
No, you weren't here when that happened. My people were, so I have to take some of the guilt for that. What's your quote?
I mean, I literally have written everything Donald Trump said in 2018. Okay. Should I bring up his Twitter feed? Or?
Look, you can't top there are good people on both sides as far as I'm concerned. That is the defining quote of his presidency. And until he says something...
That, I was going to say, I think that is probably...
But that was 2017. And until he says something materially worse than that, I've got to give him a pass.
Oh, I'll find it.
You know. I'm sure there was something in there somewhere, but it's tough to beat.
Nope, he says something like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but it's tough to beat. There were good people on both sides.
Freaking idiot. Like, that's the bottom line, is that regardless of, and what you said is true, what I said is also true. The point being that there is truth on both sides.
Yes.
The one fundamental truth is that this man is a moron and is running our country.
Well, a moron, let's be fair. He's an idiot savant. The president, no, because there are certain things that he's good at. Whether accidentally or through some innate skill.
Looking like my father when he's angry, that's the best he's at.
All right, worst person for me. That would be Caitlin. There's three, actually, but they are all intimately connected. Not intimately in that sense, although two of them are. Caitlin McClure, Mark D'Amico, and Johnny Bobbitt Jr. You remember this fun trio?
Oh, it's been a while.
Caitlin McClure ran out of gas, and then helpful homeless man Johnny Bobbitt Jr. gave her his last $20 to buy her gas so she could get home.
Mm.
And then she and Mark D'Amico set up a GoFundMe page and raised more than $400,000.
Oh, yes, that's right.
To benefit Mr. Bobbitt Jr. Then earlier this year, Mr. Bobbitt Jr. said, "Where's my money?" And then the investigators got involved, and it turned out whole thing's a big fraud. Whole thing's a giant grift. Here's the fun part of it. This fell apart because Bobbitt wanted his share of the cash. Classic grifter move. And now Caitlin McClure has turned around and said that it was all Mark D'Amico's idea. She had nothing to do with it. It was he was the bad man, because there is no honor among thieves. The problem with this is...
God, I can't believe I even had to ask you to explain.
The problem with this is... Not that these people are grifters and scumbags. Because the world is full of grifters and scumbags.
That's not the problem.
The internet is full of grifters and scumbags. The problem with this is, number one, it points out just how shoddy our news media is, that they got away with this in the first place, which was a ridiculous story. They got away with this in the first place and fleeced people out of $400,000, thanks largely to our major media companies, your CNN, your USA Today, your MSNBC, all of whom ran with this as the feel-good story of the year. Because these grifters are smarter than the journalists. That's problem number one. Problem number two...
I was going to say, that's something that definitely needs to be addressed.
Is that this gives every GoFundMe campaign a black eye. Now, however you feel about GoFundMe, it is helping some people with real need solve real problems. And we don't need these grifters coming along and convincing everybody that it's all just a big scam. A lot of it is, but some of it isn't. So here's something else that we don't trust because people got greedy. My worst public comment. I don't know what you're looking at in horror.
The New York Times has an entire page devoted to the worst Trump quotes.
Oh, yeah.
That is cached, according to yellow is worst and purple is most recent. And logging into this page is the first time in the history of my getting this laptop. Mm-hmm. which was like 6 months ago, that it's done the little twirly thing.
Yeah, it's the New York Times. It probably isn't loading. They have a terrible website.
No, it's more that there's too much stuff to on this page.
All right. Worst public comment for me goes to Maxine Waters, representative of California. You may remember her from the Brett Kavanaugh trial. I believe she was involved in that.
Oh, that dum-dum.
Who said after Sarah Huckabee Sanders had been hounded out of a restaurant by a bunch of left-wing dunderheads, quote, if you see anybody dunderheads from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere. Representative Maxine Waters calling for mob justice, ladies and gentlemen, against White House staff. She wants to be president.
And people say that I could never run for Congress.
She wants
because I used to be a pot activist.
She wants to be president.
Ay.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
It's not going to.
All right, worst song.
Well, it's weird. Worst song actually coincides with my thought of best movie. Actually, that's not true because Eighth Grade was the best movie I've seen in like a decade. But a human being named Lil Meerkat did a cover-ish of Bohemian Rhapsody. It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And that's, I listen to a lot of music and a lot of comedy. It is the worst thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Even while singing off or rapping or whatever they're doing off key, it still doesn't stay on the general tempo of the song that they're using the same backbeat for. It's like it was offensive to my ears.
I
think I went, my right ear went from partially deaf to completely deaf listening to this song.
I don't believe I can play this.
It's I don't think it's FCC cool.
Yeah, no, I don't, I don't, let me see.
We don't have a drop button.
Maybe we can get a, a taste of, no Lil Meerkat will be broadcast.
Yeah.
On this, but on this radio station.
Well, the thing is it plays on the radio. Like it's widely known. And that's what, because I was sitting there being like, what is the worst song of 2018? And then I started doing research and was like, what have I heard of this? Oh, this isn't actually that bad. What in the good Lord's name is this? Especially because it's offensive to the fact that Queen is one of my favorite bands ever. And it's just pooping on what an excellent song that is. And not even, they're not even, it is technically a parody, but they're not even trying to have it come off as a parody. I hate this so much.
All right, that's yeah.
Yeah, I hate it so much.
Really?
Like, they're really, that's the thing, is they're trying to pass it off as like a good cover, despite the fact that it is paradoxical. Like, and using the entire real backbeat, like your real backtrack, whatever you want. I don't know what to call it.
I thought we saved the future.
I have to turn that off for a second because these always have commercials on them. I thought this was the worst song of 2018.
You got the right one.
Oh, this is pretty bad too.
No.
This is the radio safe version, by the way. That's
Did he just say got that super soaker?
Yeah.
Like that thing I had when I was six in 1992.
Oh, you should watch the video. It looks like one of those YouTube kids videos where they just play in ball pits and open up like surprise eggs. That's Tekashi 69, convicted and admitted child molester. He's got a hit song.
Oh, what a wonderful world we live in.
And this is the clean version of it, so you'll hear some interruptions in it.
So this is the clean version.
Yeah.
I got that Zupa Soka. By the way, I hate you because now all I'm going to be thinking for the next week is that Zupa Soka. Is that Nicki Minaj?
Yes, it is. Making her second appearance on our Worst Song of the Year list. She was back here in, I believe, 2016 for Stupid Bitch or Stupid Ho or whatever that song was. It was awful. Now I mentioned Shea Spillane. I said, I thought this was the worst song of 2018. I was wrong. Because after I'd more or less settled on that as the worst song of the year, I became aware of the existence of this.
Are you ready?
Work, Mark.
I already hate whatever this is.
Bella Thorne. Need an ID cause I'm Bella Thorne. Seen me on TV a million times before.
Wait, is this who I think it is?
I was hella short.
Catch me
out. No.
Can't afford. I don't got a license, but I got a Porsche. Yeah, I got some drivers that open my door. Scoop a dog on the surfboard. Let me show my
every jerk makes me want to rest more.
Hit low. Tell her book that trip.
Yeah, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse than that Logan Paul crap we had last year.
No.
Bitch, I'm Bella Thorne.
This is the worst. Like, that was already the worst song I've ever heard, and now I know.
I maintain that backing track on that song is so thin and so barren because no engineer,
I could have made that producer 5 minutes on the laptop I'm using right now.
No producer could sit in the studio and listen to it. They were all just like, no.
Here's the backtrack. Do whatever you want.
Here's your drum beat. I'm gone. I can't take anymore. Bella Thorne, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when
I was going to say, it's like when Lindsay Lohan tried to sing and like when, what's that dumb, tall, blonde Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
I was like, don't you like how I've just erased her brain?
Remember when we thought Party in the USA was the worst thing that we'd hear from an ex-Disney star? Oh, boy.
Oh,
it's, hello, Bella Thorne.
Now that's like, that's the new Bohemian Rhapsody compared to this.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I mean the actual one, not the one you played before that.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Gross. That is the worst thing. Okay, yours wins. The worst thing I've ever heard. She was in Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip.
Yep. May it burn in an inner circle of hell for all eternity and never burn itself into our ears again.
My brain hurts.
Worst picture.
My brain hurts. Actually, this one was a recent one. By recent, I mean... I saw it on Christmas. Holmes and Watson.
Oh, you saw that? Did you stay?
Vice was sold out.
Did you stay in the theater for the whole film?
we were in Southie. We were with my dad's friends.
Were there people outside waiting to kill you?
We had to.
Were you hiding from the police?
There was a gun to my head.
Yeah.
Well, no, we wanted to go to Vice and it was sold out. My dad loves going to the movie theater because he grew up working at one. And we went to the movies twice that day. We saw The Mule, which was dope.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Go.
Oh my God, it was so good. Like, seriously, go see The Mule. Clint Eastwood can pretty much do no wrong.
Yeah.
But that was, like, the really no wrong.
And
like,
this is classic unapologetic Clint Eastwood, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best
Him
kind
just
of Clint.
Being like, I'm an old crotchety man, but I'm open to reason.
There's a great scene in the movie where he says, it's really nice to be able to help you Negroes.
Yes, that's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
And these two black people are looking at each other like,
yeah, they say,
what?
we refer to as black.
Say that anymore.
Or, you know, just people. Yeah. And he goes, well, how do you like that?
And they
just accept it because he's a really nice guy.
He's a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
Based on a true story. Great.
It was the same thing with the... Let's talk
about the crap movie.
But so we wanted to go see Vice like later that day with his friends and everything, like every theater within the general South Boston radius was sold out. Like, because my dad lives in Quincy, so, like, everything between Southie and Randolph sold out for Vice. So he was like, Hopes and Wants and looks like a fun watch, whatever. Yep. It was so bad.
People are walking out of the theater demanding their money back, which is why I asked
like,
if you stayed for the whole thing.
It was so terrible. We stayed. It's weird. We stayed like out of respect for one another.
Friends
maybe,
don't let friends watch all of Holmes and Watson.
Because I was with my father's friends, and I think that they thought that I wanted to go. It was literally just that my dad wanted to go to the movies again, which is why I agreed to go. But we did laugh at some point. So it was like, I think that too made it like, maybe they're enjoying it. I don't want to be rude. It was so terrible. And even my dad's friend, one of my dad's friends that we were with, is like pissing and moaning the entire like walk out of the theater, ride home. And is like, you're in the entertainment industry and you majored in film. Can you explain to me why what we just watched ever happened? And I was like, because they're friends and they were bored. Like, that's the only explanation I have for it, is that Will Ferrell looked over at John C. Reilly and was like, yo, I'm bored. Are you bored? I have tons of money from the movies I've had that have been successful. Let's just make a random movie.
I don't think anybody goes into a movie expecting it to be bad. It's just something that happens somewhere along the line. And to that end, I think you're going to be surprised by my pick for the worst picture of the year.
I'm a little scared.
It's the movie you wanted to go see. And it is Vice.
Vice? Really?
I will say this. For 20 years now, okay?
Conservative.
For 20 years now, I have made a point of seeing as many nominated films as possible so that I could handicap the Oscars. Mm. All right.
That's the reason.
In that 20 years, this is the first time I walked out of a movie theater angry. I was angry at that film for taking those 2 hours from my life.
And was it because of the way they portrayed Dick Cheney? Because it was a bad movie?
Christian Bale's fine.
Christian Bale, like, just looking at him, hopping into looking like
He's fine, but he's got nothing to do other than the creepy Batman voice once in a while. So if you miss the creepy Batman voice, it's back. You'll get to see that. Amy Adams, in a thin year for actresses, has a shot at a Best Actress nomination from this. The rest of the film is complete and utter garbage.
I'm going to say Amy Adams is also heaven. Say anything bad about Amy
Adams. I'm a huge fan of The Big Short. I loved The Big Short. I love Adam McKay's style.
Oh, it made me super depressed, but also a good film.
I don't know what went wrong here, okay? There is a brilliant...
It has the perfect chemist... what's the word I'm looking for? all the elements that should be combined.
There is a brilliant scene.
That's why I'm shocked that you're saying this.
There is a brilliant scene in the middle of this movie where Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and I forget who the third person was are sitting at a table and they're ordering from a menu of war crimes as they get ready to go into the Iraq war. It is hilarious. It is the only thing in the movie that is even remotely funny. The movie can't decide if it wants to be serious or if it wants to be a comedy.
That is something that I thought watching the trailer for it, that I was like, is this supposed to be a commentary? Or like,
the movie telegraphs that it is extreme left-wing propaganda about 25 minutes in and never turns its back on that.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that we didn't get tickets to, Adam to McKay, see with my brother.
You would think that Adam McKay watched Dick Cheney murder a family member.
Based on the way he portrays it.
With the viciousness that is in this film. And here's the problem. Here's my biggest problem with it. Dick Cheney is one of the great American scoundrels of all time.
That's what I was going to say. Please don't tell me you're defending Dick Cheney.
You could do an entire movie on Halliburton.
Do I have to drop the Halliburton bomb?
You could do an entire movie on him shooting his friend in the face. You could do an entire movie on Scooter Libby. Those three events are throwaway lines. Instead, Adam McKay wants you to believe...
God, I had actually forgotten that he shot his friend in the face.
Instead, Adam McKay wants you to believe that Dick Cheney is responsible for the opioid epidemic and for the California wildfires.
Okay, that's...
It's garbage.
As someone who hates Dick Cheney, that's absurd.
It is garbage that makes its audience stupider for having watched it. And that, to me, is unforgivable.
Oh, that hurts my soul.
I know. I was, and you may come out of it, and you may be like, yeah, you know, it was okay. But
no, I'm so glad. I was supposed to go see that with my brother, and I would have had to listen for like 2 hours.
I'm sure you've seen that it's a divisive film.
Being mad about it.
And the divisiveness is earned because McKay misses by a long shot on this one. And that should be...
Come on, D. You can do it. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture with we're doing throwbacks tonight to talk about the worst things of the last year.
Did you bring three?
Of course I brought three. I don't know if we have time for three, though.
We're going to get through three because you're going to move.
All right. Well, my first favorite thing that's the worst from last year is a man who broke into a Connecticut church and stole $3,000 worth of electronics. Apparently felt enough remorse to leave an apology note. Police released a video of the man they say broke into Mount Olive AME Zion Church in Waterbury and stole cameras, monitors, and a microphone used to broadcast religious services. Members of the congregation told the press he also left a note saying, "Pray for me, sorry brothers, save me," and drew a little sad face.
My number three, Georgia. Great state of Georgia. Authorities in Savannah are not amused. Someone in town hopped a fence and glued googly eyes onto a statue of Revolutionary War General Nathaniel Greene, who is buried beneath the statue. In a Facebook post with a hilarious close-up of the statue, authorities said, quote, "Who did this? Someone placed googly eyes on our historic Nathaniel Greene statue in Johnson Square. It may look funny, but harming our historic monuments and public property is no laughing matter. In fact, it's a crime." Most respondents to the post thought it was a laughing matter and suggested officials remove the eyes and get on with other things.
I remember that. That's one of my favorites. A man named Constantin Relieu learned in January that he was dead. After more than 20 years of working as a cook in Turkey, the 63-year-old returned home to Romania to discover that his wife had him officially registered as dead. He has since been living the legal nightmare of trying to prove to authorities that he is, in fact, alive. I can't even get through the story because it's so funny. I'm sorry, like, Constantine, I'm sure it's very difficult, but come on. His wife, who now lives in Italy, has not been found and therefore can't explain her side of the story. He explained that he first went to work in Turkey in 1992, returned to in 1995, to the first big shock of his marriage that his wife was cheating on him with someone. In 1999, he decided to return to Turkey for good. And then last December, authorities detained him over expired papers and deported him to Romania, where he found out that he was dead. He is now, I checked into it, this was the story broke in February. He is now still trying to prove that he is actually alive. I remember when I read this story, I was just like, yes, this is gold.
Washington. The Richland Police Department got a surprising response from their weekly Wanted Wednesday roundup of fugitives. A response from Anthony Akers, one of the people on that week's list, wanted for failure to comply with his probation. Akers responded to the post saying, quote, calm down, I'm going to turn myself in. He didn't show up the next day, prompting police to respond, hey, Anthony, we haven't seen you yet. Our business hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Of course, if you need a ride, you can call non-emergency and we will pick you up. Akers wrote back saying, thank you, tying up a couple loose ends since I will probably be in there for a month. Should be there in the next 48 hours. 48 hours later, police reached out again. Is it us? We waited, but you didn't show. The weekend came and went. We are beginning to think you are not coming. Akers responded again. Dear RPD, it's not you, it's me. I obviously have commitment issues. I apologize for standing you up, but let me make it up to you. I will be there no later than lunchtime tomorrow. I know you have no reason to believe me after what I did to you, but I promise that I don't make it on my own by lunchtime tomorrow. I will call for a ride to assist with my commitment issues. Thank you in advance to your response. If you were patiently giving me another chance with us, I know I don't deserve it. P.S. You're beautiful. Akers made good on the promise, posting a selfie as he rang the doorbell of the police station with a caption that said, quote, see you in a month.
That is my absolute favorite story of the year, but I couldn't steal it because it was yours.
Oh, I have one that's even better.
Well, my favorite of mine, a Texas man who pled guilty to stealing more than $1.2 million in fajitas.
Yikes.
While acting as a public servant,
has
been sentenced to 50 years in prison. Gilberto Escamilla was employed at the Daryl B. Hester Juvenile Detention Center in San Benito, Texas, until August 2017, when it was discovered that he had been placing orders for fajitas using county funds and then selling them for his own profit since December 2008. When sentenced, Escamillo was also served with a maximum fine of $10,000 on top of the $1,251,578.72 he was ordered to pay back for the cost of the fajitas. According to the Brownsville Herald, I cannot laugh when I read this story. Escamilla's scheme unraveled last August after a delivery driver with Labatt Food Service phoned the detention center to give kitchen employees a heads up that an 800-pound delivery of fajitas had arrived. Both my fists are in the air. I'm trying not to bump them. I just want to reiterate, 800-pound delivery of fajitas. Just like picture that in your brain. Sorry, Derek, your turn.
Number one. Dear friends, this is a Facebook post. It comes with great sadness that I am announcing the cancellation of the wedding. I apologize for canceling only 4 days beforehand. Unfortunately, my ex and I have broken up due to some recent and irreparable problems. We have decided to end our relationship and not go forth with any future proceedings. I'm going to skip ahead in this a bit. How did